Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome back to So NWA. We're your hosts, Juan Carlos and Enrique, two local realtors here celebrating the people behind the place that make Northwest Arkansas special.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, being a realtor is all about relationship, and we think this podcast is just another way to serve, another way to connect, and just keep building something meaningful here in Northwest Arkansas. And shout out to the mayor, P. Ridge, Nathan, for connecting us with our guest today.
Yeah, definitely want to give out a shout out to the mayor of P. Ridge, Nathan Sees, for connecting Enrique and I with this special guest that we have on today. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome Mr. Kevin Benock, the owner of Peddler's Pub here in Bentonville. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Man, we really, really appreciate you being here. Again, Nathan, if you're listening, we really want to thank you for connecting us. And we couldn't be more excited to host you here. So thank you again.
Yeah, it's we had actually been talking about wanting to get somebody in the restaurant industry here, mm-hmm. local to our area. And so whenever he let me know that we were going to have you as a guest, we were over the moon excited.
yeah, we really were. And also, Kevin, you are our first food and beverage guest.
Oh, fantastic. Podcast.
So you have you'll forever claim that title with us. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, gentlemen, how we doing today? You know, I always like to ask that question to really just, you know, understand how our week has been and where we're coming from. Enrique, what's new with you, man?
Man, it's been so far so good. It's a barely Tuesday. I think it's a good week. Enjoying the nice weather.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today it's going to be sunny. I think for the rest of the week it might be a little bit rainy and cloudy, but mm-hmm. other than that, doing good. Business is good. So
yeah,
I'm blessed.
That's awesome. You know, we took a little break off from recording podcasts. You know, technically when you're hearing these episodes, they should be coming out on a weekly basis. But Enrique and I, we took almost like a month off from recording an episode with a guest. So it feels good to be back in the swing of things. But Kevin, how about you, man? How was everything?
It's been a good week. Yes. You know, with Easter, we had the pub open on Easter.
Yes.
So people could come out and they had family in town, that sort of thing. So that and a couple rainy days that were kind of nice to sit inside and put off all the duties that need to be done for two days was kind of refreshing.
So, there you go.
Cool. Earlier when you arrived, you were talking about there's a race that you guys are getting prepared for, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about that. The Peddler's Pub, along with some of our other sponsors, Custom Electronics, Meteor Cafe, and Garver Engineering, we put on a race and have for really about the last 8 years, probably. It's called the Peddler's Bash, and it's in the vein of a marathon mountain bike race. I think the long course is 47 miles.
Oh, wow.
Goes through Bentonville, Bella Vista, all the trail systems, Blowing Springs, kind of hits all the highlights and starts at the pub, finishes at the pub, and then we just kind of throw a big party afterwards and for all the racers and all their family. And it's a lot of fun. And we normally do it in the spring. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's one of those hope for good weather. And
true.
Normally we get, you know, even if it starts out bad, it usually ends with decent temperatures. So
that's true.
Yeah. That's on May 3rd. So that's right around the corner.
Yeah. Coming soon.
Yeah. Very soon. Yeah,
we'll make sure to share it on our social media.
Oh, awesome. Anybody. Yeah, that'd be great.
How would be the sign up for that? Closed right now, or
it's open till the day before. So you can go to Bike Reg, which is a pretty common sign up spot for races of any kind, really. Just search Peddler's Bash 2025 and it'll pull up and give you all the information and all the categories. You can pay on there, get your registration in. So you basically show up on the day or the night before, get your number and just
race
all day.
Yeah. So, and party all night.
And party all night. Peddler's Pub.
That's cool.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love
it. Yeah. you know, let's dive right into this, Kevin and Enrique. So something that I saw here on this random question generator is, and I'll start with Kevin first. What do you think would be the worst thing about being famous?
Oh, just all the attention.
Simple. I like it.
You know, people recognizing you, and not giving you your privacy.
Yeah.
You
know, Man, okay.
I appreciate my privacy. And
oof,
privacy so is it's, cool. You yeah. know, that would be the hardest thing probably for me.
Okay, okay. Enrique, how about you?
I would say I'm in the same boat.
Okay.
That, and then on top of that, if you're like a figure, right, to a lot of people, I think, and this may not be a bad thing, but maybe you're held to a certain standard.
Sure.
And it could be for maybe something good or something bad. I guess it just depends on the person's personality, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But going back to what Kevin said, I think I saw a video about the late Michael Jackson. His dream was to go to a grocery store and just shop like,
right.
like a normal person.
Mm.
You know, something yeah, that'd so be simple. Difficult. Oh, yeah.
It'd be difficult. Yeah. Yeah. I would say the same thing. I would say, yeah, the privacy. Just mm-hmm. kind of, because you hear that a lot, right? You hear that with just, I guess, famous people. They can't go down the street to go grab a burger or sure. a grocery store or something like that without it getting crazy. And I think, you know, I guess that's really challenging. You know, we probably don't think of it like that, but
yeah.
you know, now when that's taken away and you can't really kind of turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, it's different if you go and you see people, you know, and people that you have history with and you have something, you know, substantial to talk about. Whereas if you're just walking down the street as a famous person, you know, the intentions are probably a little different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
can I get a picture?
Yeah.
Just everyone just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. That's
not
true.
Much substance in the yeah, conversation. Yeah.
Not much there. You just the famous person getting a picture again, you know, yeah. I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be tough. I couldn't imagine not being able to go like a restaurant or mm-hmm. just anywhere in public. I feel like it'd be a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be. You know, there's that opposite, the opposite too, right? It's like you walk into a restaurant and they'll clear a table for you. And it's like, oh, that's
sure.
That's just them too. Right? Oh, yeah. But I mean, I don't know, right? That's the other part of that. But no, I think privacy is big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having it is better than not having, yeah. like having that option and doing it. And like I said, having that privacy is better than almost not having it. And not even getting the option to have it, mm-hmm. right? You can just go to your house and...
Yeah, you can't yeah, turn it off.
Yeah, you can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of in that same realm, this is kind of cool, is what's the most famous person you've met in your life? You know, if you had to. Enrique, I'll start with you.
The mayor of Pea Ridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. That's
cool. He's shout local out, here. A lot of people know him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said in that episode, I had never sat down in a
yeah.
room,
mm-hmm.
let alone had a conversation for an entire hour with somebody at his level.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I would say him. He's yeah. the mayor of Pea Ridge.
Mayor
of
Pea Ridge?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. That's a good one.
Are there celebrities? No, I've never met a
or celebrity before. Or anything
never.
That famous?
Okay, no okay. celebrities.
Okay. Kevin?
Sam Kinison. He was a comedian.
Sam Kinison.
Yeah. And he's a hilarious comedian. And I loved him. And we were at my aunt and uncle's house in Houston. Or no, we were in Tulsa. And...
Oh, I see.
I woke up one morning and there was a big tour bus right outside the window. And apparently his parents lived across the street.
No way.
And he was in visiting.
Oh.
And then, funny enough, that morning he was out there with the hood of his car up. And I went up and used that as my opportunity to say something to him. Say, hey, you need any help or anything?
Yeah.
And he didn't, but I sat there and talked to him for a little bit. And
that's cool.
So, yeah, that was probably that's pretty the cool. most famous person I've ever met.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Where was that at, if you don't mind?
Tulsa.
In Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you grew up originally? Or?
No, my mom lived there and worked there for several years. So I got to know Tulsa pretty good.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
And my aunt and uncle lived there.
So. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that a little bit. You're not originally from Tulsa. Talk to us about, and right now we're in Northwest Arkansas, right? Sure. Talk to us about your backstory. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So, I'm around Springfield area. So, where I went to school was a town called Rogersville. So that's where I lived. And that's the community that I lived in with my dad. And it's a very similar relationship that Pea Ridge has to Bentonville. Not very far from Bentonville, but a very small community, farm-based community, lots of agriculture, but it was still only 25 minutes to get into Springfield or 30 minutes to get into Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So grew up there and then, went to college in Central Methodist College, or it's now Central Methodist University. And that was in Northern Missouri, Fayette, Missouri. and was there through that. Then, you know, I applied to the Peace Corps when I was in college, and I got accepted, and I went into the Peace Corps upon graduating college, and was stationed in the Philippines and lived there for 2 years and, you know, a few months, and came back to Springfield. I had been a rugby player for before I left the States in Columbia, Missouri. And so immediately when I you know, left the Philippines, I went over to New Zealand, played rugby over there for a little while.
Oh, wow.
And that's cool. Met a, you know, bunch of friends and teammates there that I became, you know, longtime friends with, and then moved back to Springfield. And sort of, although I had some friends in Springfield, I immediately reconnected with the rugby club there and started playing rugby with the Springfield club. And we would go down to Fayetteville for rugby tournaments a couple times a year.
Yeah.
So I knew a lot of people from the Fayetteville area, and one of my friends, Liz O'Connell, who was a rugby player, she worked at the Ozark Natural Science Center. And she said, well, hey, you know, they've have a position open. And that was my degree, was in science education. And she said, you know, you should apply and come check it out. And the Ozark Natural Science Center is in between Huntsville and Eureka Springs,
mm-hmm.
in this beautiful wildlife management area back through there. And just a wonderful place. And so I went down to interview and got the job, moved down there and lived out there, and then was in and out of Fayetteville weekly for just doing stuff, seeing music, visiting some friends, and playing Ultimate Frisbee. And I lived there for 15 years, something like that.
Mm, there you go.
And then I was a teacher, so I had originally going to the Ozark Natural Science Center. I'd worked there 3 years, and then I moved into Fayetteville to work at the Lake Fayetteville Environmental Study Center, which is part of the Fayetteville Public School System and the Springdale Public School System. Outdoor education that was coordinated with the curriculum, both school systems. So I did that. You know, I was there 12 years of my 15 years down there. And then I just sort of started looking to change a little bit, and mm-hmm. Wasn't really interested in teaching as much anymore, and started thinking about opening my own business. And my wife, who at the time I met down in Fayetteville, Leslie, you know, she and I started talking through, and I started wondering what might be. And I'd been in the restaurant and bar business all my life, working different places, and always kind of wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And this was sort of a time where I thought, you know, maybe this is what I need to do. I have experience in it already, and just spent a lot of time researching, and sort of when I had checked off all the boxes of what I didn't know, and had researched stuff, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and give it a shot. So we were planning on opening up in Fayetteville, but just weren't finding any places that felt good to us to open up in. And Leslie is from Bentonville, and she came up and met a bunch of her friends up in Bentonville and said, you know, it's changed a little bit. It's pretty happening, and maybe we should look up there. So we started looking, and we came across the building that we started in. We loved it. It was on the bike trail. It was in across from the old Farmers Exchange. It wasn't very busy, but it was easy to get to. It wasn't very far. So so we sort of bit the bullet and said, let's do it. And that was in 2014.
Okay.
So and then, you know, as you know, we just things were coming up. We were kind of looking to change buildings. We didn't really want to change locations.
Mm-hmm.
And the old CrossFit Northwest Arkansas building behind Gearhead.
Yep.
The Lawsons were friends of our family, and they had mentioned, "Hey, we've got this building coming up. Would you have any desire in you know, looking at it. Yeah. Originally, I said no because it was 9,000 square feet.
Hmm. Yeah.
Man, it was just bigger than we were thinking, but it allowed us to make the change without really moving locations because it's literally about 100 yards away from where we were. So,
you know, and I'm curious, what was the square footage of the original?
It was location? 20. It was a little less than 2,500 square feet.
Okay.
Wow. So you almost almost tripled it.
You know, for the audience here, you know, as we do this episode, it's so funny because, you know, as Kevin was talking about and open up his own business, I kid you not, I can imagine him as a outdoor ed teacher.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's had some great stories and it's, you know, I just love that. And now we know he transitioned into having his own business and opening up Peddler's Pub. And I can just say in the original location, there's definitely been some great times and I'm sure even more
very
so now.
Memorable.
Yeah, yeah
very
it memorable. Is. It is. And even more so probably in this newer location, you know, as the town gets bigger and things like that. But you've essentially answered what inspired you to open Peddler's Pub. Was this, was it to get out of teaching and to kind of, you know, start your own business? Is that?
It was mostly just to work for myself.
Okay.
You know, okay. I enjoyed teaching. I loved, you know, teaching with kids and doing some of that. I just got to the point where I really wanted to be in control of more of what I did on a daily basis. And the restaurant, I mean, I suppose it's true for any business, but the nice thing about the restaurant, there's so many ways to do things your own way. You know, the menu, what it is you're cooking, how much of it you're cooking, how diverse do you want the menu to be, you know, where, you know, it seems like there's always a lot of pressure that goes into that with some people. But for me, it was sort of total freedom that, if I feel strongly about having a small menu, or if I feel strongly about this pricing structure, then that's what it's going to be. And the beauty of that to me is that, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's your own call. It didn't work out. It's a realization that maybe that was the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you make changes. So.
Yeah. I think that's real common among the many entrepreneurs that I've spoken to. And I'm sure Juan Carlos can attest to that as well. We're technically in that same realm, right? You know, we work for ourselves, right? We're realtors. We have to run our business as a business because that's what it is. We're business owners. And so just having that freedom to do what you want and do it right and do it on your own terms is the biggest thing, at least for me, when it came to being in real estate.
You bet.
That was the biggest factor. And that's pretty common with many entrepreneurs.
And what you find out when you look at so many businesses and so many different ways of doing things, and when so many people follow the same model, that's not freedom to me. You know, if you don't 100% disagree, don't 100% agree with that model, then you can change the model and you can make it, you know,
absolutely.
If one way doesn't give you the customer satisfaction that you're looking, and you have a way that you want to satisfy customers that you think will work, you can do it that way and see how it works. And, you know, I love that, you know, the ability to just change and, you know, up with your own plan as opposed to what does the template say?
And you're running your own ship. It is true, you know, being in real estate and kind of controlling your own businesses and you have to kind of make it work, or you have to try different things to find out what works best for you, because it can be different for everyone. But that freedom is pretty priceless.
Yeah.
You know, just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. But also when you find out what works for you, it's almost like that light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, this just feels
confirms so what, you know, that you made the right choice.
Correct.
Right.
That's all. That always feels good.
You're the name Peddler's Pub. I can guess why the name, but I'd love to know the story behind it. You know, even, you know, the details of where, maybe I remember I was in my, you know, kitchen and I came up with the restaurant name and it just clicked. I want to know that story. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Leslie and I, we, you know, of course, like you would, like, it's sort of like naming a child, you know, you sit down and you say, what about this? What about that? Nah, I don't like that. You know, and so I had, so my sister and my mom live in Seattle. And so I had this plan that I was going to fly to Seattle with my bike, and then I was going to ride from Seattle back to Fayetteville. And
nice.
That was in, I think, 2001. And so I did that. And, you know, the best part of that trip was that it, you're totally solo. So your entertainment is 100% based on who you meet, what you see, what, because you don't know anybody along.
Yeah.
And you're on the road pedaling nonstop, you know. So I was toward the end of my trip, and I was in Oklahoma, and it was toward the end of the day, and I've pulled up, and there was this huge, big, freshly mown yard that was probably 5 acres, 3 or 4 acres of yard, and a trailer and a shop in the back, and a bunch of guys sitting around tailgate of their truck. And I thought, you know, these guys surely would let me pitch my tent in their yard somewhere, even if it's away from their house, just anywhere here in the grass. Yeah. So I ride up there, and there's about 5-6 guys, and they're drinking beer and carrying on, you know, and they're so welcoming to me, and they're so interested in what I'm doing. And of course you can stay here, and of course you can, you know, yeah. And you know, they stayed there all, you know, most of the night, and you know, they were barbecuing and the rest. And one of the guys kept calling me the peddler. And he was kind of an old timer. He had overalls on, long beard. And he just all night kept saying, "Peddler, what do you think about this? Maybe we should ask the peddler what he thinks about that." And we sort of had this great night. And so when we were sitting around talking about names, I was like, "Well, what about the peddler's pub? You know, this guy." And we both liked it. And so.
That's cool.
That's a really nice story.
That's a cool story. Yeah. How many people do you think know that story? Do your employees or your
staff? Oh, there's a few.
There's a few, okay.
Most employees probably don't know it.
Okay. So it's a little, we're getting the inside scoop a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's cool, the peddler referring to.
Yeah, I don't think about it very often because it happened so long ago, but.
That's so awesome. In a way, it's like Kevin's pub.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like the peddler in a way, yeah. But now it's obviously Bentonville.
Yeah. And it's hyphenated. So my thought was that, you know, to look at the name, it says, you know, this belongs to the peddlers, to the people that peddle. Even though it was directed at me, the name, but the, you know, when I see it as an apostrophe S, I think, you know, this belongs to the people that ride bikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your journey from Seattle to back here to sure. Fayetteville. How many miles was that?
It was 2,415.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. 2,415 miles. So you mentioned you pitched a tent in those people's yards. Was that a challenge that you ran into trying to figure out where to sleep?
Or? You know, usually it wasn't. It wasn't too difficult. It was pretty clear what I was doing, you know, for people to look at me, it was kind of clear what, you know, something was going on. I was pulling a trailer behind my bike and, you know, it was filthy and smelly probably and all the rest. But, you know, most people had no problem with me, you know, pitching a tent in their yard, using the bathroom. But most of the time I would just find a place when I knew I was getting close to the end of my ride day, I would just start looking, you know, could I stow away here for the night, you know, and nobody, I sometimes wait to a little later to set up my tent so I didn't look too conspicuous, you know. but otherwise people were very accommodating.
That's awesome.
And it was fun to just randomly meet people. And
is that something you would want to do again?
Or have a long
ride? What's stopping you from doing another long
ride? The pub, two kids, work, you know, the list goes on. But I mean, we did, my family really pulled together a few years ago, and my wife and I did the bicycle tour of Colorado, which is, it's like a 500-mile ride through Colorado, and it's supported. So you basically, they're wonderful rides. You come with your bags packed and you check your bags in and you put them on the U-Haul or whatever. Mm. And then you start riding. You don't have to carry any of your gear. There's aid stations along the way. and you know, fruit and drink and, you know, some snacks and that mm-hmm. sort of stuff. And you know, they take your gear to the next stop and oh. you roll in there, grab your gear, set your stuff up, tent, chairs, whatever, set your little camp up, and everybody's doing that. It's a great experience. You know,
nice.
What everybody are- doing the exact same thing. They did the same ride, that, you know.
Yeah.
And then in the morning you pack up and you put your stuff on U-Haul and then you do just your ride. Yeah. Just do that for a week. And we had a ball and my family really pulled together, speaking to, you know, why don't we do it now? It's because it's logistically, it's a lot of time and, you know, a lot of time out of communication too, sure. that sort of thing. But
just curious in a, what are those called?
They're just bike tours.
Bike tours.
Yeah, okay. And this was Bicycle Tour Colorado, and they got them. I mean,
yeah,
many states have them.
What is kind of the average distance between one station and another? If just
you know, 50 to 70. Usually something like on that. Those tours, there's you know, there's a 100 mile day maybe.
Okay,
but most of them, you know, 50 to 70 miles. A
that's
day.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I had seen this video on TikTok, and it was this guy, I think he's about 20 now, 21, 22 now,
mm-hmm.
but he started a biking tour on his own, a solo journey, yeah. and he started from Alaska, and he biked all the way down to Patagonia.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I don't know how many miles that is, that's but awesome, that's, yeah. that's super far.
Oh, yeah.
Super far. What an experience. I would love to do something like
that. Well, it becomes part of what, it becomes kind of your life, you know?
Yeah.
Wake up and ride, and I would meet people on the road doing the same thing. They've been out there for 2 years.
No way.
Yeah. You know, oh, no, now I got to go south because it's going to be too cold to go north. So I'll go south before I can go north. And oh, you wow. know, I got to hit this state, but I can't do it right now. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a whole culture, really.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Biking as a culture is huge, especially here in our area in Bentonville. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we were curious about, you know. We're named as the mountain bike capital of the world here in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. How has that shaped your business? Has that influenced your business a lot with it being, especially in downtown Bentonville?
Sure. It's been great for business. I mean, you know, the majority of our business is families. And in those families, there are many cyclists a lot of times. But of course, the tourism part, you know, mm-hmm. is, I mean, in fall and spring and spring break and vacation times and all these different breaks. I mean, there's so many cyclists that come into town and, you know, thankfully a lot of people hear about the Peddler's Pub if they ride bikes. And so they come by and maybe they're in town for the weekend and they might come in 2, 3, 4 times the whole time they're staying. So they'll come in for lunch one day, then they come in for happy hour, or then they come for dinner, or come back for lunch the next day. Or
yeah.
So, no, it's been wonderful. And it truly is a great place to drop off and just ride all weekend or mm-hmm. well, whatever, however long anybody's in riding for. It's just to ride downtown, get something to eat, get something to drink.
Right.
And it's just very accessible. I mean, I live in Pea Ridge and, you know, I can, in 2 minutes, I can be on a bike trail and I can single track all the way into work. And this is wonderful. I mean, it takes me 20 minutes to get to work in my car. And I mean, I can be to work in 35 minutes on my bike. So it's not even that much time difference. Yes. We still live 15 outside extra of town. Minutes.
Yeah.
So that, no, it's, that's been a really... it's been a big part of our business. I mean, of course, that's our target. It was part of our target in the beginning.
Sure.
It's when you're dressed in Lycra and sometimes you're not as welcome in places. You get a lot of unwelcome stares and, you know, we wanted to be a place that wasn't like that. And that, you know, it was more common to be in cycling stuff than the uncommon.
So, yeah, it's just growing so fast here and especially in that area. I mean,
yeah.
You see the weekend people are riding their bikes on the road. Yeah. They're going mountain biking. Oh, yeah, I mean, our team leader, Francisco, big avid mountain biker, mm-hmm. my brother-in-law too. Yeah. So just anytime I'm there in the weekend and Bentonville, you just see people cycling all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's grown to be something huge here.
For sure.
You know, I have in my downtime, I'll be, you know, here at the house and scrolling through Instagram or something, I'll see these biking videos on the trails, and I feel like I've psyched myself out, and I look at these rides, you know, and I'm like, dude,
yeah,
that is insane. I like, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'll get on a dirt trail.
Yeah,
I will, sure. You know, soon, but it is crazy. Just, I can just see just the movement and how fast and all these things. And I'm like, you know what? I like my greenways.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that can be said too, is, you know, from greenway to very difficult mountain biking. I mean, there's everything in between.
Yep.
And all of it's pretty accessible. I mean, you can get to all of it pretty easily. It's been really good for us.
Mm. You know, Kevin, this is a personal question regarding a menu item. Mm-hmm. I know I'm being dramatic now.
Sure.
Everyone's like, what? No. Yeah. What is, in your opinion, what's one of your personal favorite items on the menu? You just got to have, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and we just added this, but, you know, I told you I was from the Springfield area.
Yeah.
And so you may or may not know about this, but, you know, in Springfield, there are Chinese restaurants on every corner.
Okay.
They're everywhere. And they serve something called Springfield style cashew chicken. And I had no idea. I lived there, you know, in that area my whole life. And I had no idea that it was a Springfield thing. I just thought you go to a Chinese restaurant and you get cashew chicken, you know? So then I started going outside of the area and I go to a Chinese place. I get cashew chicken. It's not the same cashew chicken. Mm. And you become addicted to it. It's so good. And it's everywhere and it's very affordable. And, you know, at the time they had all these Chinese buffets and it was on all the buffets. And it's basically chunks of, you know, essentially Southern fried chicken chunks on rice with a gravy that's, you know, it's like a... it's a brown gravy. It's, you know, oyster sauce and soy sauce. Mm-hmm. And it's very palatable. It's nothing fancy. And then it's topped with scallions and toasted cashews.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's probably, and we added it to our menu when we moved because we had to add a fryer because our fryers, we fry fries and wings in, and both of those are naked. So they don't have any batter on them. So both of them are very gluten-free friendly. To be able to sell those items. So we didn't want to use one of those fryers to use fry with batter. Right. So when we moved, we incorporated into the kitchen that we added a fryer so we could be frying cashew chicken.
There it is.
Yeah. So that's probably my favorite. As far as pizzas go, my favorite pizza is the Italian, which is a roasted garlic and olive oil base, light base, prosciutto, fresh mozzarella, Parmesan cheese, and then when it comes out of the oven, it's topped with arugula.
Okay.
And we get all of, the majority of our produce from a hydroponic produce company out of Decatur, and it's called Tabletop Greens, and they have just great stuff. And the arugula is just crispy and juicy and big and just wonderful. So that's, you know, by far my favorite pizza.
Those are the two, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
And it's probably one of our top two best-selling pizzas, two or three top-selling pizzas.
I'm going to speak for all the spinach artichoke dip people.
Oh, yeah.
Got the best. You guys have one of the best spinach artichoke dips in town.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah.
Love the bread. Love the...
You bet.
Y'all are making me hungry.
I know. I hear your stomach, man.
Brought food.
Hey, there's some candy right over there.
Well, you're going to be chewing all over the mic. No, but talking about food, I'm curious to know, how did you guys figure out what to add to your menu? Like, how did you guys, did you do like taste testing? Did you figure it out that way? Or you just kind of had a blank canvas and kind
of, you know, a lot of pizza, I can speak for pizza through the years, which we don't add a lot of pizzas because mm-hmm. we sort of keep more of our signature pizzas, and then it gives the ability for everybody to build their own pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are from getting tired of eating the same pizza and cooking up new pizzas. I mean, the beauty of having a pizza line with all the ingredients is you can just
right.
pull yeah. off what you yeah. know, let's try this. So when we would eat pizza in the back, just, you know, after we'd eaten the Italian 1,000 times and we, okay, let's try something different. Oh, this is good. And we'd take it out and let people sample it. And oh, yeah, that's good. So
that's good.
So we add like that. You know, and the other part of that is, you know, just customer feedback where we have maybe some gaps in the menu that, you know, we have a large vegan menu. And
you do. Yes.
And that was something we added. I had been eating like that for a while to see what it felt like. And I realized how difficult it was to go to restaurants and get something to eat because, you know, while there were lots of ingredients and things that you could eat, they may not have been put together in the same. So it's sort of pain in the neck. It's like, hey, could I get this with this and this and take this away and put this? And not very practical in a busy restaurant scenario because it just takes a lot of extra time. So we decided, and we'd had a lot of requests from people about it. And so we decided to just take kind of what we had, add a few things to be able to make sort of a comprehensive vegan menu. So,
yeah.
And that's gone over real well.
Yes, I can speak to that because a good friend of mine, we met through work, and he's a vegan. Him and his wife are vegan. And I remember when they moved to town, I said, hey, I remember, actually, I didn't know this. I probably forgot, or I just, yeah, like I said, didn't know. But went to Peddler's Pub and turned the menu over, and it's this really, I mean, it's, I almost want to say it's like almost a dozen dishes.
Yeah, you bet.
Vegan dishes. And I was like, dude, what? That's crazy. Like, that's, like, just like you said, they're just to have that list ready. I sent him a photo of it. He came, I think, a few days later and said that was probably some of the best vegan food he had.
Oh, that's great.
And he had such a great experience because, again, that was such a challenge to get these items and things like that, like what you were just saying. And he's like, I think we go, he was telling me, he's like, I think we go every other week to Peddler's Pub to eat, you know, because you guys just have such a great vegan menu.
Yeah. So
that's how, shout out to that.
No, it's been good. It was a good addition.
Yes, definitely. How do you, you know, Peddler's Pub has been open, I think, a little over 10 years now, right? How do you feel that it's, you know, you guys moved into this new location, Bentonville is growing, you know, the Bentonville scene is getting larger. How do you feel? Do you feel that you're staying with that Bentonville scene, the growth in Bentonville and Peddler's Pub? Or are they kind of going, moving together, if you will, in that sense?
I do. I mean, I think the best thing that businesses can do within a community are to be their own business. And something I saw when I moved to Bentonville was a lot of the same kind of restaurants opening. Targeting the same price point, targeting the same group of people. And we came in and we're a very casual place and a different type of food and a very approachable type of food, not fancy. And I think that's what people appreciate about any business is that it's a genuine business. And you know, my wife and I, when we started the business, there were just a lot of things that we wanted to be a good employer. We wanted to be a place that people wanted to work, place where people felt good about working there, felt good about the clientele that's coming in there. And so, you know, goals for us was to, you know, as far as the community goes, was just to be a good business from our standpoint. Treat people good, treat people fairly, be affordable, you know, and have a relaxed atmosphere, which in our new place, it's even better because we had so much extra space. We put in 2 pool tables, and that's been fantastic. We put in nice pool tables, so they're 8-foot pool tables, so they're fun to play on, and they've really gotten traction. I mean, people are really enjoying it. And we enjoy playing pool. And when we would have night out to go, you know, whatever, we'd have to go to Rogers to find pool table. Or this one pool table at this place is packed up all night. There's no way we're going to get on it. We don't really want to play the guy who won the last game. We want to rent the pool table for an hour. And play however we want to play. So that was the sort of impetus for the pool tables. And then we had another large space And another growing thing in Northwest Arkansas is golf. And so we
the golf
simulator. We put in the golf simulator. It's its own private room. You get your own. It's $50 an hour. Not per person, but just $50 an hour.
Nice.
To play golf. Your server comes in, gets you drinks and food, and you never really have to leave the room.
I didn't know that.
It's its own. That's it's cool. Its own thing. So we're just kind of getting that off the ground a little bit, but and it's a wonderful. I mean, it's a very lifelike golf experience. It's a 9-foot by 16-foot screen that you're hitting into.
Yeah.
So that's been good. You know, and that helped us suck up some of the space with a little bit of recreation. Right. You know, so yeah. Kind of fun to do.
That is cool.
And that has worked out really well.
For the for the golf room area, how many people does it hold?
I mean, it's pretty easy to get 12 or 15 people in there. Oh,
okay.
It's large. It's lounge seating, basically. So there's a large couch and couple lounge chairs and then a high-top table with two comfortable chairs. And then a little bar area that, you know, just a
nice
that we put food on for, and then there's some bar stools there. So it's, I mean, you know, the best experience is not to have much more than 4 people playing golf, maybe 5, because it, you know, it moves pretty slow if you have everybody and everybody's having a good time and then they're talking stories. Oh, whose turn is it? And then so it's a little, but to go in there as golfers and to go in there and say, hey, let's play 18 holes and this, we want to play Pebble Beach. And play Pebble Beach, and you know, you can get done in about 3 hours, similar to a golf round.
Yeah, there you go. So 2014, right? Is that
correct?
You started, so about 10 years, give or take,
compared it will be 11 years in July.
Wow,
yeah,
very nice. Are you doing anything special for the 11 year anniversary?
I doubt it. We normally don't.
We just keep it.
We say we're going to, and then we don't. But everybody that's been there for a long time, you know, we kind of rally and everybody,
yeah.
Shows up for happy hour and has a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious to know, compared to when you first started back in 2014 to where we're at now, what has changed since you first opened the restaurant? What have you kept the same? What are you going to change if there are changes coming?
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the exception of moving, and, you know, our biggest fear with moving was that we would have to change too much and we didn't want to change.
Right.
We didn't really want to change. We just... We're kind of looking for a different building, but we like things how they are. You know, the other part of our name is pub, you know, and pub is public house. It's a place for people to gather, you know, and have a good time. And my dad was born and raised in Ireland, and and pub has always been part of what we've talked about and done. And when we travel, hit a pub because they're comfortable places to be, where you find locals. You know, and that was the whole idea of a pub. And people say, well, oh man, your social media is terrible and your website barely even works. And those things are all true and they're true because that's not an important part for us. The important part is having a place that people want to come in and, come in a few days a week.
Right.
And they want to stay for an hour. And they want to hang out with everybody because these are their friends, and the and this is and they catch up and oh hey, how'd that go, and hey, how'd your thing go, and, or whatever. That is infectious. I mean, and so the huge part of our clientele are people that have been there pretty much since we opened almost 11 years ago.
Yeah,
and we see them, you know, a couple times a week, 2 or 3 times a week. But they don't stay and fall off bar stools. They come in and have a drink and visit with the bartenders that they love and the, all the people sitting next to them. We doubled our bar space. We doubled our number of seats at the bar when we moved. And then we have high top tables behind them that are still kind of part of the bar. And it has grown our regular crowd because now there's a little bit more room for more regulars. And so you know, that's what we find. So we don't really like to change all that much.
Yeah. I think that's good though. I think it's almost paying an homage to your mission and the original location prior to changing. So I appreciate that as a consumer, you know, going to find a restaurant that likes to keep it casual and very inviting environment.
Yeah.
To me, that's super valuable.
It is.
We, you know, we've always had all the jerseys on the wall. And,
yeah.
You know, it just basically allowed us to have more room for jerseys and more memorabilia and more just stuff, you know. But we tried to keep it, you know, as close to the same as we could. And
nice.
And it's worked out good, you know.
I will say, you know, when you arrived earlier and we were just talking, and this is something I definitely wanted to highlight, was I remember just the feeling when we first went to Peddler's Pub, mm-hmm. and it definitely feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. It does feel family oriented, but yet you have people at the bar drinking and but it just doesn't feel, it just feels more of a family environment,
diverse, yeah,
an adult family environment, yeah. You know, like I said, drinking and sure. having with your kids and pizza with your family and stuff absolutely. Like that, right? It definitely has that feel to it. You don't feel like in maybe other places.
Yeah, we don't want, you know, the point of it is not that, you know, slosh people in and out of there. It's just, you know, it's to everybody be able to enjoy. And early we talked a little bit about, you know, just the idea of when you go to the grocery store and you see, you know, the parents of somebody that your kid goes to school with and you know them because they play sports together and you sit in the stands mm-hmm. together and you've had a conversation and you've made a friendship mm-hmm. and you know, that's what it is at the pub, is the same sort of thing. Yep. You know, it's like people go there once and, you know, they end up, you know, making a friendship with somebody that they talked to or they had right. something in common with. And then they say, hey, that was a good time. I think I'll come back again. You guys are here all the time. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll come a couple of days a week and, yeah, you know, we'll catch up and have a beer and then, you know, and then 6 o'clock, I'm on the way home.
Right.
You know, a lot of that. So
I like that.
So it's, and we protect that. We don't want it to become anything but that, you know, we don't want it to be sloshing people in and out of there.
So. Right. This is kind of a funny question. If Peddler's Pub had a soundtrack,
yeah,
what song would be on it? What's one of the songs that would be on it?
The Wheel. That's a Grateful Dead song.
Okay. I'll have to listen to it all.
About the wheel turning around and you can't stop it. And it just keeps on going.
Get out of the way. We're going to have to clip that like on Instagram, kind of put that over your
great
picture
song.
Maybe when we upload the episode.
The Wheel. Great. The Wheel. Got it.
I love it. So something we like to do here, Kevin, on this podcast is we really like to give you a moment to give a shout out to anyone that you think deserves it. And we tell all of our guests, like, don't feel bad if maybe you forgot someone. And if you don't want to give anything specific to not make anyone feel bad, that's fine as well. But any shout outs for your team, friends and family, you mentioned you have
a
wife and two kids. So,
yeah. Oh, you know, my wife and my family, my in-laws live in town. I mean, they've, this is part of what I decided but this was my idea of how I was going to be able to work for myself. And, you know, my wife's like, a restaurant? You know? But totally supported me. And she is an interior designer.
Oh, wow.
And she has done an incredible job with the first pub and all of the second pub. So, I mean, couldn't have done any of that without her. That's not my thing. And she's made it to where it's very accommodating, very welcoming. The lighting is good. And so, I mean, she deserves half the credit. And my in-laws that live in town here, they look after our kids when need be, especially in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. The agreement was that with my wife was you're not going to see me for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Till the business is kind of up and running. And it was sort of like that. I mean, I was home, but I was only 5 minutes from home at the time from the pub, but I was there opening and I was there all day for both shifts. And I was there at the end and after you're closed. That's a big ask, but we planned on that and that's how it worked out. So, you know, and my family had just been super supportive and my mother and sister that are out in Seattle. Mm. Well, they're not here as much, but my mother's just a great influence for me. And my sister, she took all the pictures for the, she's a photographer in Seattle.
Okay.
And She's out there. She came to take all the pictures for the website and all that sort of stuff.
So, cool. Yeah. Awesome. I love that.
So really couldn't have done it without any of those.
Brought everyone kind of something y'all can work on it together or have together, but all, everyone's kind of invested in it. Absolutely. You know, and it's kind of like a family.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of family.
You know, and you had mentioned earlier about Christian Barrett, who.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you started going to the pub, you kind of went because he was your guy. Like he was correct. So good. And you know, that's a really great, has been so great for us. Christian, he was one of the first people I ever hired for there. So he was there before we opened. And through all the training and everything, and he was a server for 9 years. And then we needed a general manager because the place was, you know, really getting busy. And I was having to pull back a little bit with having to do stuff with kids. And, so, you know, he accepted the general manager position. And I mean, when I'm not there, I feel like there's nothing that he hasn't seen that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing he hasn't seen how to deal with it. Or hasn't dealt with it on his own for the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. And so he has just really done an exceptional job.
Amazing. And,
along with Lisa White, our bartender, bar manager that has been there, you know, 9.5 years. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, the cleanest part of our restaurant is our bar, and that's just never happened. it's impossible to find.
I'm hearing a theme here. It's a lot of family oriented environment.
Oh yeah,
which
you bet.
I'm a fan of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you,
yeah.
You can notice it too. When I've been to your restaurant before, you notice it right around when you walk in.
Yeah,
the environment's very inviting. It the vibes are real nice. I've always enjoyed going there.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
you know, we were talking when you arrived and you asked me how I got into this podcast, mm-hmm. You know, the idea behind it and how it started and everything. And I told you about it, but I did say this and I've, you know, Lord is my witness. You know, I remember saying to myself, you know, going kind of down this list, like who I could choose to, if I could choose, who could mm-hmm. I have just to interview and to have to pay that homage to, you know, in this podcast. I remember in my mind, I said Peddler's Pub.
No,
I did. Great. I we always bring, when our family and friends come into town, we make sure we go to Peddler's Pub. Like that's the mm-hmm. a spot that we feel that everyone enjoys. And it's just a good, you know, Enrico's saying good vibes and good, great food. And mm-hmm. it's just reasonably priced. I mean, everything. And it's just, I would go there over and over again every weekend, you know, so
great.
For sure. So it's just to have you here is amazing. So
thank you
Kevin.
Love it. I have one more question because we do like to talk about Northwest Arkansas on this podcast, right? But last question regarding your business. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other ventures that you're maybe pursuing? I know we just moved to a new location. Are we just there as of now, or
that's it? You know, before we open, you know, I said that this is not about chaining restaurants or making a ton of money. It's about us having something that we feel good about at the end of the day, working, having our kids around there, having our kids work there. Mm-hmm. And you know, at some point as time goes on, the kids would like to be part of the pub and, you know, other than just working there, you know, and mm-hmm. take it, you know, that's always, you know, a possibility, of course, you know, whatever for that. But, you know, that was our goal was this is going to be our life and a big part of our life, not making a bunch of pubs and that sort of thing. So really, you know, the one is all we're interested in. Life. The only downfall to that is that we can't be in P Ridge. <'Cause> I would love that. You know?
Really, I love that. Yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I know a guy. He might be helping you.
Might be interested, yeah.
You know, I was before you just said that, or right before you said that, I was thinking to myself, man, wouldn't that be so cool to open up a pub. Actually, one of my things I told my wife this years ago, or even when we moved here, I said, you know, what would be so cool would be to have like a sit down restaurant because with kind of like a brewery. There, that was a kind of a in a sense a dream of mine to open up mm-hmm. like a brewery, something local, something just in the same way.
Yeah.
With that mindset behind it, just family oriented, just have a good time and go home, nothing crazy, but also enjoy like the outdoor fields that we have here in Pea Ridge, because there's so much open land and just have like kind of think of it like Bentonville Brewing, how they have like the little area for your kids to play and your dog park and things like that. I was thinking, man, to have something like that in Pea Ridge would be so great. Who knows?
It's right.
Yeah.
It's
that's very true. Kevin, you know, what is, when you have family or friends visiting, you know, you've been here for a while now, but when you have family or friends who are visiting North West Arkansas for the first time, what do you tell them? You know, that's always, I'm always curious to get the perspective of our guests, what they tell their family and friends.
I mean, you know, most of, you know, we also like to go to the lake.
Okay.
And the lake is a part of what we like doing in the summertime. And my wife and I both kind of grew up going to the lake and in the summers, and we just thought that our kids would probably love it and enjoy it, and it's good memories. And so, I mean, just the outdoor activity, you know, the floating, the just getting out. That's the best part of Northwest Arkansas is because there's so much to get out and do, you know. And there's never been one day that I've regretted going out and doing something outdoors. You know, just can never think of a time where like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
If I think back in my mind about summers that I spent with my fiance's family and my own family too, I don't think I've ever had a negative experience that I can think of, at least right now. So it's always a good time.
It's a good place, and the community is such that there's flavor kind of everywhere, you know.
True.
You go to Rogers, you go to Springdale, you go to Fayetteville, you know, you get a little different feel in every place, and it's kind of unique, and it's and none of it's far, you know. That's
true.
None of it's far. It's all easy to get to, and you know, the rivers and the creeks and the lake,
right?
And again, it's not far. You know, I live, you know, on the edge of Bentonville and Pea Ridge in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the boat's in the water at Beaver Lake in 30 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's rare. I mean, or in Bella Vista, 10, 15 minutes, you're on a lake, whether you're in a boat, a kayak, a canoe, swimming, doing whatever you do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of recreation.
So. Easy access to a lot of things here.
Never mind all the trails and cycling, I mean, that we've already talked about. That's all just right out the door.
Do you know of any hidden gems in our area for swimming or?
I'd never tell.
Hey, that's
fair
all right.
Fair enough.
That's all right. I'm the same way.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know what? We don't need a tell, but the next time you go, give me a call. I won't tell either. So Kevin, this is, you know, I think this is a question we always ask our guests, and you have a past, you know, in your defense, we ask our guests, what's some of their favorite local spots, whether it be a brewery, coffee shop, restaurant, et cetera. Now, you obviously, you can exclude Peddler's Pub because we know that's already a favorite. So where is Kevin on the weekends, you know, with his wife, his kids?
I mean, to be real honest, you know, we like to stay here in town in Pea Ridge, and Diego's is one of our favorite places.
There it is. Your photo's on the wall, right?
Yeah. No. No. But I love it. We love it, and it's close to the house. So we love going there.
Okay.
In Fayetteville, when I'm working, I'm, you know, running around doing stuff. I love to go Ozark Mountain Bagel.
Okay.
Bill and Sheila started coming into our place. They're the owners of Ozark Mountain Bagel. And Tyler, their son, started coming to our place, you know, when we opened, and they were getting ready to open up their stuff. And they're just good people, and the product is really good. Everything's fresh. Everything's done, you know, that day. It's good ingredients. So, you know, I always like going there for a bagel and a snickerdoodle. It's like a 5-inch big snickerdoodle. It's quite to eat.
Yeah.
Love going to Blue Fish Market. Barry, First Seth, he's, he opened it's a sushi and and Fish House. So, I mean, they have really great local seafood. Again, Barry, they were getting ready to open up and they were working late, and we were the only place in town that the pub opened till 11 o'clock.
Right.
So he and his crew would always come over. So I got to know him real well. And
nice.
He's got a deep background in seafood. And, it's so rare that you're able to be so landlocked as Arkansas and get really good seafood from both coasts. And so he does a real good job.
Nice.
Real good job.
I like that. Yeah. Cool. Well,
So we're at the end here, wrapping up, Kevin. So something we do on this podcast, we always love to tie all the episodes together. And so our previous guests left you two questions. You can answer both. The one.
Okay. Yeah, these questions were left by our previous guests, which was Phil and Nicole Shepherd.
Okay.
You may or may not know them. They're local realtors as well, but they also do. They both work on this. How would we call it? It's like business, but it's all things NWA.
Oh, okay.
So they were here last, and because it was two, I had the two guests here. Mm-hmm. They left two questions.
Okay,
so that's the reason why. But yeah.
I'm game.
Yeah. So the questions are: what was your favorite vacation, and one historical event you can change? What would it be?
and I'll say this: Phil came up with the historical event. If you know Phil,
right?
That's totally up his alley. And then the favorite vacation was Nicole's
favorite vacation. I mean, we have extended family, my wife's family and my family. We take we take a ski trip in the winter with all the kids, and it's always a lot of fun.
Okay.
And then with my wife's family, most of the time we'll go to the beach and just going to the beach with family and getting to see the cousins and their babies when you start going, and they're giving you crap the next time you see them, and then just so on and so forth. So yeah, those are those. And what's the other one?
What historical event
could you change?
If you could.
Yeah.
If you could. Any historical event. Yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny. I know that's a doozy.
Yeah. I figured it was from
the Holocaust, probably.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Holocaust. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was
it's terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And when I was younger, I had less interest in some of the historical stuff that had happened, as I think is true with most young people. Last few years have done a lot of research on that stuff. And the worst part because it's amazing, what can happen with people if led in the wrong direction.
Right.
Yeah, how easily some people can, or groups of people can get influenced.
It can be normalized.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
A question. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Kevin.
So what question would you like to ask?
What question for the next guest? Yeah, so now it's
your turn to leave a question for the next guest.
What's your favorite mountain bike trail?
I like that one.
What's your favorite mountain bike trail? Cool. Yeah, I don't know who our next guest will be, but let's go.
Yeah. It'll be an easy one for
you. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Kevin, man, it has been a pleasure to have you here, to spend some time with you and just build that relationship and friendship. Man, I think forever you'll be tied to this, to me in this podcast with Enrique here. So thank you so much.
Appreciate y'all having me.
Oh, it's really a pleasure. It's an honor.
Yeah, it was an honor. Yeah, it was a goal of ours to sit down with somebody.
It was a goal.
With the restaurant business owner. So thank you for letting us reach that milestone.
Of course, anytime.
Appreciate your time.
And best of luck to you guys. I like what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot. But folks, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of So NWA. Like we said in the beginning, Enrique and I, we just appreciate all the time and listens you guys tune-ins to us. How do you say it? We really appreciate you all tuning in every time.
There you go.
You know, we do our best to really serve our community and work with the community. So, but guys, we will catch you on the next episode. Take care. Thank you.